There was a time when JetBlue wore its lack of first class like a badge of honor. No tiered cabin, no velvet rope, just leather seats, extra legroom across the board, and a brand identity built on the idea that every passenger deserved a decent experience. That was the pitch. That was the promise. That was for 25 years what JetBlue was. I'm Tower on ATIS, coming to you from Radio Hangar. And today I want to talk about what it means when the last major holdout finally folds. JetBlue has unveiled Blue First, a dedicated, honest-to-goodness, enclosed first-class cabin on domestic routes. Not just an extra inch of pitch, not a premium economy rebrand with a fancier name. A first-class cabin, the kind with a door, the kind the legacy carriers have been selling for decades. The kind that JetBlue spent a quarter century telling you it would never build. Before I get into what this means for the industry, a quick word from today's sponsor. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, back to JetBlue. To understand why this matters, you have to understand what JetBlue actually was when it launched in the year 2000. It entered a market dominated by the legacy carriers, American, United, Delta, and the hub and spoke machine they had built. JetBlue came in as a low-cost carrier with a twist. You got a real seat, you got a seat back screen, you got DirecTV, you got snacks that weren't an insult. The idea was simple. Give everybody something worth paying for and don't waste the front of the airplane on a handful of passengers who were going to put it on a corporate card anyway. That philosophy worked. JetBlue carved out a real niche, particularly on the East Coast, and in cities the legacy carriers had underserved: Boston, Fort Lauderdale, Long Beach, JFK. They won loyalty from passengers who were tired of paying Spirit prices for Spirit service or paying United prices for. Honestly, not much better. Then came Mint. Mint was JetBlue's premium product, and it launched in 2014 on transcontinental routes: New York to Los Angeles, New York to San Francisco. Lie-flat business class, competitive with what the legacy carriers were offering on international routes. And it worked. It worked exceptionally well. Mint disrupted the transcon market to the point where American and United had to cut fares on those routes to stay competitive. That's a real impact. Mint proved that JetBlue could play at the premium level and win. But Mint was always positioned as a business travel product on long-haul domestic routes. The idea of bringing a formal first-class cabin to shorter domestic flying was still off the table until now. So what exactly is Blue First based on what JetBlue has announced? Blue First will feature enclosed suites with sliding doors on domestic routes. That puts it in the same conversation as American's flagship First, Delta's Delta One, and United's Polaris product. Though, those are typically reserved for long-haul international flying. Bringing an enclosed suite to domestic first class is not nothing. That is a significant hardware commitment. Here's what you need to know about what's driving this. The domestic first class market has been expanding steadily since the pandemic reset passenger expectations. When airlines came back from COVID, they came back leaning heavily on premium revenue. Business travelers returned slower than leisure travelers. Airlines responded by pushing premium cabins harder on leisure-heavy routes, and it worked. Premium revenue has been outperforming economy revenue at virtually every major carrier for the last 3 years. JetBlue was watching that happen from the outside. And at the same time, JetBlue has been under serious financial pressure. The failed Frontier merger, the failed Spirit merger, which got blocked by the Department of Justice on antitrust grounds, stock price struggles, route cuts, a period of genuine turbulence for the airline, and not the kind you find at altitude. Blue First looks in part like a revenue play, a move to capture higher-yield passengers who currently default to the legacy carriers, specifically because those carriers offer a dedicated premium experience. If JetBlue can pull even a fraction of that traffic over, the economics of the airplane change meaningfully, but there's also something larger happening here, and that's what I think is the real story. JetBlue is the last major carrier to add a traditional first-class cabin. Think about what that means. The low-cost carrier revolution that started in the 90s and accelerated through the 2000s was, at its core, about flattening the airplane. One class, or maybe two with minimal differentiation. Get people in seats, move them efficiently, price the product accessibly. That was the model. Southwest built an empire on it. JetBlue refined it. Spirit and Frontier took it to its logical extreme. And now every one of those carriers has either collapsed, gotten absorbed, or is in the process of adding premium tiers. Spirit is in bankruptcy. Frontier has been experimenting with a business class product, and JetBlue just announced an enclosed first class suite for domestic flying. The low-cost model isn't dead, but the pure egalitarian cabin, everybody the same, no-tiered experience, that model appears to be on its way out as a viable strategy for a major carrier. The market keeps sorting itself, and passengers keep revealing through their spending that they will pay meaningfully more for a meaningfully better experience. For the person listening to this right now, most of you probably care about this story from one of two directions. First, if you're a frequent commercial traveler, which describes a lot of the pilots and aviation professionals who tune into this show, this is relevant to how you book flights and how your points and miles are going to work in the JetBlue ecosystem going forward. When an airline adds a premium cabin, they typically restructure their loyalty program to push upgrades and premium redemptions toward that cabin. It changes the calculus on earning and burning TrueBlue points. Second, and this is the angle that I think is most interesting to the aviation community, this tells us something about where the industry thinks passenger expectations are heading. The airlines are not building Blue first because they think domestic flying is going to get cheaper or more commoditized. They're building it because they believe there is a durable, growing appetite for premium experiences in the air that has implications for airport development. It has implications for how FBOs and charter operators position their products. It has implications for how the whole ecosystem values the flying experience. There's a lesson in here for general aviation as well. One of the consistent selling points for GA, for private flying, for charter, is the experience. The control, the access, the ability to go where you want, when you want, without a middle seat and a 2-hour security line when the airlines race toward premium experiences and cabin differentiation, they inadvertently close the gap in some ways. A first-class domestic product narrows the experiential advantage of charter for a certain type of traveler. But it also validates the fundamental human desire for a better experience in the air. And that desire, when it's fully priced by the airlines, can push travelers toward the charter or owner-pilot route faster than you might expect. JetBlue has not announced which specific routes or aircraft types will receive the Blue First cabin first. The expectation in the industry is that longer domestic routes will get priority. Think transcontinental flying, or at minimum, routes of 3 hours or more. The Airbus 321 family, which JetBlue already uses for Mint, is the likely platform. An enclosed suite requires serious structural planning, and JetBlue isn't going to retrofit their entire fleet overnight. Timing is also worth watching. JetBlue is in the middle of a financial recovery. They've been cutting unprofitable routes and focusing on their core markets. Building out a new premium cabin requires capital, requires maintenance infrastructure, and requires a trained cabin crew that knows how to deliver a truly premium service. That last part is often underestimated. The hardware is the easy part. Building a service culture that lives up to an enclosed suite in the front of the airplane is where airlines either earn or undercut their premium investment. American spent years building out its flagship first product on international routes. Delta One has been consistently ranked among the best domestic and international business products in the world. United's Polaris has had a mixed reception but has improved steadily. JetBlue will be a newcomer to that competitive space on domestic first, and the scrutiny will be real. But here's the thing. Mint earned real credibility. Genuine reviews from credible travel publications saying JetBlue's Transcon business class was legitimately competitive with the legacy carriers. That's hard to do. If JetBlue can bring that same execution to Blue First, they could genuinely disrupt the domestic first-class market the same way Mint disrupted the transcontinental market in 2014. And disruption in commercial aviation, even when it happens at the airline level, eventually ripples out across the whole industry. Competition between carriers for premium passengers drives investment in product. Investment in product raises the bar on what a flying experience can look like, and that raises the conversation about what it means to fly well, which is a conversation every pilot in this community has a stake in. For now, Blue First is an announcement. The aircraft are not flying with the new cabin yet. Watch for route and timeline details as JetBlue moves from reveal to delivery. The announcement is the easy part. The execution will be the story. AeroTime has the full report. You can find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower, clear skies.